in from verses 44. Luke 24 and from verses 44. I'll wait till you get there. And I'm reading the New King James Version, so it will be a little different from yours, unless you have the same Bible. So Luke 24 from verse 44. Listen to the word of God from the book that we love. Then he said to them, "These things are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalm concerning me." And he opened their eyes, and he opened their eyes, understanding that they might comprehend scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to die, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. And you are all witnesses to these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from up high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. This is the word of God. So, Jesus' ministry lasted for just 3 years. And in that 3 years, he had 12 disciples and a whole host of people who followed him because they wanted to hear the word of God at all times from him. And so these disciples have been with Jesus that whole time he was teaching and grooming them to become the people who would stand and speak the word of God. If it is incorporated today in America, we would call it train the trainer. So Jesus was training the trainers who would go out and be the disciples of his word. If you have worked in an environment with train the trainer, you would realize that in that environment, the people who are called the trainers kind of take pride in their work, right? They take pride in what they do. They take pride in the fact that if somebody needed help, they come to them. And then they can flex their muscles and tell them what it is that they're supposed to know. It is a place that when you are not careful, you can be prideful. So Jesus was teaching his disciples what it means to disciple other people, what it means to share the word of God, what it means to have their lives speak to other people. that their lives may become like a fragrance which attracts people to the Lord. People see you and they see Christ, so they are compelled to follow Christ, to seek Christ, to look for what you have. What it is that you have that makes it so wonderful to be you, and so they are compelled to seek that in Christ. That was the preparation that the disciples were going through. There is something about fear. There is something about fear that takes away all our energies, all our mental faculties, all our capacity to reason, because we are afraid. When you are afraid, you can't even think straight. Everything just disappears. Things that you know, things that you have studied so much for, things that you have lived your whole life learning from your parents, you can forget them because you are afraid. And that is where the disciples were. In fact, a few verses before where we started reading, it says that they were in the same room, just waiting and praying and maybe worshiping. And then the two men who walked with Jesus on the road from Jerusalem came back from their homes and told the disciples that, look, we have seen it with our own eyes. The Lord is alive. And so they doubted. I mean, think about it. Jesus has been with them for over 3 years, teaching them about the things, telling them about the things that would happen. They believed it. But because of fear, they had forgotten all about what Jesus had told them, what Jesus had prepared them for. So as they were debating in the room whether Jesus is really alive or whatever, Jesus himself appeared to them and said, "Peace be unto you." And the Bible teaches that they were afraid. They were frightened as if they had seen a ghost. How is it that the person that you just mourned a few days back, the person that has been with you for more than 3 years, the person that has done miracles that you have seen with your own eye, the person that has told you, "I will be raised from the dead in 3 days," this is a person that you know so well, and they appear to you and you get afraid, you get frightened? Why? That is because of fear. When you are afraid, you seem not to remember things. You seem not to even know how you got from this place to the door outside. When you allow fear to operate in your life, it becomes the thing that cripples you from moving forward. So Jesus had appeared to the disciples. And then he told them, remain in Jerusalem. Remain in Jerusalem until you have received the gift from the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who would come and make all things new. It's amazing because Jesus had spoken to them about the Holy Spirit so many times. Remember this verse? "It is expedient that I go, because if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But it is important that he would come, because when he has come, he will lead you into all truth." Not some truth, all truth. This is a promise that Jesus made to the disciples. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will lead you into all truth. So they knew about the Holy Spirit. So they knew that when the Holy Spirit has come, this will truly happen. But because of fear, I like the fact that Jesus, as he appeared to them, he hung everything on the Holy Spirit. But he also hung it on obedience. Obedience from us. Obedience from the disciples. God is speaking to us this morning about obedience. Obedience that we have to take steps for And then Christ will meet us at our point of need, where we are, in our homes, in our jobs, in our church, in our community. See, sometimes God requires that we take a step. It's a step of faith. It's a step that shows him that we are serious about what he has called us to do. And when you take that step, God will meet you where you are. So my friends, take a step for Christ. There is a song that I'm thinking about that says something like, if you don't stand up for what is right, you will fall for anything. So my friends, take a stand for Christ. Take a stand because the Holy Spirit empowers us to do so. The Holy Spirit empowers us to go out into the world making disciples of all nations. And if you don't believe me, hear this. The passage that we just read, there was a part that says that repentance has to be preached. Remission of sin has to be preached. And God is calling you and I this morning to preach repentance, to preach about remission of sin. I like that when Jesus Christ, before he came, God called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's message was summed up in just a few lines. It says something like this. The kingdom of God has come near you today. So repent. And that is what we are supposed to do. The message is simple. The message is so simple that Jesus thought it necessary to repeat it just before he departed from his disciples and was carried up into heaven. He says, the message of repentance has to be preached starting from Jerusalem. Amen? And that is what God is calling us to do. God is calling us to bring the message of repentance, to bring the message of salvation, the message that there is remission of sin only in Christ. And so we ought to open our chest and in our communities, let people see the remission of sin, the repentance from sin in us. That is the only way that we can motivate others to come to Christ. But this morning, I want to tell you that that act of living to attract people for Christ, it's not something that we do. We as Christians, we in this room, we in this world who call ourselves Christians, it is not by our power that we can do that. It is not by our strength. It is not because we are too smart. It is not because without us, things cannot happen. It is because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because that he cares so much for us that he enables us to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We live in a world of contracts. And every contract that we have to sign, we sign it sometimes in a lawyer's office, right? Because you want to make sure that you are not cheated out of the contract. You want to make sure that what you want, you get from the contract. And that is what our world has become, right? In the Bible days, all you have to do is raise your head up to the heavens and lift your hands up and swear. And that was a contract. It was a time that your word meant something. What you said to your friends, what you said to your neighbors, what you said in your school, what you said in your workplace, what you said in this chapel means something. People look at you and they say, this is a man of his word. This is a woman of his word. And that is how you attracted people to Christ. Because when your name is mentioned, people know that, oh man, Kurt is an honest person. I like him because he's good. When I'm in his company, I feel good. Because people just looked at you and they can tell, right? But today, when people tell you to look up, you better look down. Because that is what our world has come to. We have given the trust. We have given the energy. We have given all that God has done for us, all that Christ stood for. We have given that up and taking on this attitude and taking on this, I don't know what to call it, that we think that we have to win. We think that our word should be the ultimate whatever. But Christ is reminding us this morning that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to do the things that we do. And when he calls us into his kingdom, he gives us power so that we can operate for him. Christianity is God's business. It is not our business. We are called as partners with Christ. And as partners with Christ, it is not even because we are so holy. It's because the Spirit in us works to bring us into the Christ and the kingdom fold. So what it is that we worry about, what it is that makes us not want to do this work, what it is, what is it that makes us don't want to take that step so that Christ will fulfill in us what he has promised in his word? Christ is calling us this morning to step into faith, to step into that arena where we know that we are not capable, where we know that it is by the power of the Spirit that we are called to do the things that we do. It is by the power of Christ that I am standing here with you today. It is not because I know. It is not because my wisdom is super than anybody in this room. But Christ is calling us to take that step, the step that when you take, he empowers you in a way that you do wonderful things. If you read forward to where we were in Luke 24 and go to Acts chapter 2, you see the obedience that the disciples had, the obedience that comes from doing what the word of God says we should do. Jesus told his disciples in Bethany, remain in Jerusalem, do not move until the promise of the Father has come upon you. Obedience. Obedience. It is so necessary. It is so important. It is so vital to the life that we live now. I like the way Paul puts it in Galatians 2:20. He says something like, and the life that I now live, I live it through Christ who strengthens me. So it is not about my strength. It is so good to know that this Christian life that we live, it is not because I'm so genuine and I'm so righteous and I'm so good, but it is that I have my being in Christ, and because I have my being in Christ, I will be successful in this life that we call Christianity. It is not because I'm so good. It's not because I was born in Ghana that I am so good. No, it is by the grace of God, the grace of God that strengthens us. The Bible says that my grace is sufficient for you in all things, all things. So it is not because I'm good. It is not because we are good. It is because the grace of God is sufficient for us in all things. So Jesus told his disciples, remain in Jerusalem till you have received this power, this grace, this anointing. And didn't Peter prove that? Peter, who was afraid of speaking in front of people, the word of God says that he was empowered so much that he stood. And when he stood, he proclaimed the word of God. And it is the biggest conviction that has been recorded in the Bible. He spoke, and that day so many people came to the Lord. They came to the Lord because Peter obeyed. It's because the disciples obeyed the master when he said, remain in Jerusalem until the power, the promise of God has come upon you. So this morning, my message is simple. As Christ empowers us. As Christ has called us into partnership, this is God's business. So if he had called you into partnership, you know that he loves you. You know that he empowers you. You know that his grace is sufficient for you in all things. So my friends in Christ, take a bold step for Christ. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what family you're from. It doesn't matter what country you are from. The kingdom of God is at hand, and he is calling you to go out and preach repentance and remission of sin to all nations. And so as you wonder whether you want to take this step, I want to assure you, if you read Acts chapter 2, the first 21 verses, and we're not going to look at that, it would let you understand how obedience, if you would just step into the grace of God, you would see how God will use you, how God will send you to places where your name cannot take you. Your family cannot take you. So don't take it for granted. Christ is beckoning you to come into his fold today. Forget about what is past. Forget about what you were not able to do. Forget about what you resisted to do. God is saying to you this morning, pick up your cross, step out into the neighborhood, and let everybody hear that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come near to you today. So repent, because it is important. The word of God sometimes comes to us in ways that I think it puts fear in our hearts. And so it makes it difficult for us to take a step, to step into the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is sufficient for us in all things. So my challenge to you this morning is that God is calling you to this place, this special place. And the passage that I referred from Galatians is saying it is. So let me step back a little bit. The passage says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live it through Christ who lives in me, who loves me, and who strengthens me. Amen? That is the promise that we have. It is Christ who strengthens us. It is Christ who lives in us. It is by his grace that we can even do the things that we do. So he's saying, take a faith walk with me. I'm inviting you into my business as a partner. So come into that business and work for me. Christ is so faithful. He is so faithful to us in ways that we cannot see, because we have human eyes and we have human mind and we have human understanding. And because we have human all this, we miss the real interpretation of his word, because we always look at God's word from what it says from our sight, from our mind, and from our understanding. I like the fact that Christ demonstrated that he is faithful. And I want to share that with you as my last thought. Remember when Christ called his disciples, the first disciples, the very first disciples? he said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." What Christ was doing there is calling the disciples to have vision, the vision of discipleship, the vision of just fishing men for Christ. You would think that it didn't come true, right? Remember the passage that I referred to in Acts chapter 2? That was the vision. That was when that vision came through. Bible says that because Peter believed in the word of God, because he believed in Christ, because he totally surrendered to the will of Christ. After all, Peter was the one that denied Christ, right? Just a few days back. Think about that. He had denied Christ 3 times, as Christ predicted. But because he forgot about his shortcomings, because he forgot about his sins, because he forgot and believed in the word of God, in Acts chapter 2, Peter was able to stand and proclaim the word of God to the gathering. Didn't Christ make him fishers of men as he promised him earlier? That is the vision. Peter needed to catch the vision. He needed to live the vision. He needed to assume the vision. He needed to accept the vision so that he can operate by telling people, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, my friends, we also have to have vision. The vision that Christ is calling us to is that we too can become fishers of men. And that is the only way that we can bring our friends to Christ, our family to Christ, our co-workers to Christ, our schoolmates to Christ, our church to Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, we are so thankful for your word this morning. Father, there is something that disturbs us. There is something that doesn't allow us to see your word as it's intended to be. So, Lord, we surrender unto you right now. And we pray, oh God, that you would speak life into our lives. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it stands for. Thank you for what it means. Lord, let this word equip us. Let it brew in our hearts. Let it percolate in our minds. Lord, let everything about us be affected by this word. And help us to take a step for you. We thank you, Lord, because we believe in your word. We thank you, Lord, because we believe in your promises. Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing us the way that we can also believe, for showing us the way that we can be partners with you. Lord, I pray that you would find us faithful every living moment that we have. And Lord, may your name be praised. As we go out there, Lord, let your grace be sufficient for us in all things. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.